Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. I want to speak to you this morning about the pilgrimage of faith. Chapter 22 is kind of a summary or a end result or climactic chapter in Abraham's life. It kind of sums up his journey of faith. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. Now listen, folks, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be tested. Faith is always tested with the test of fire. This test that Abraham is going through here is a great test of his faith, but he was being tested of God. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I will pause here just for a moment. It's important for us to realize that when you go through a test, there's three primary things that are tested. First of all, your faith. The strength, the quality, the character of your faith. When God comes and tests you, He will test the strength of your trust in Him. Secondly, He will always test your fidelity, your love. Do you really love the Lord more than everything else? Listen, folks, God is a jealous God, and we need to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being. Take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, okay, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on an altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest. Let me pause here just for a moment. There are three things I said that are tested when your faith is tested. Also, your fidelity is tested, and your love, whether you really love God supremely. And thirdly, your fear of God, whether or not you really fear the Lord. Listen, folks, when you fear God, you have fear for nothing else. And so his fear, he said, Now I know not only do you fear me and love me and you genuinely trust me, but let's notice what else. And I know that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. I'll stop there in reading. May God use the reading of his holy word for our good and for his glory. I want to choose as a text a passage of scripture taken from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I want us, as we consider this reading lesson, several things. First of all, Abraham was a special person. Abraham is a special person. He's an iconic person. And everyone who has faith will often look back at Father Abraham, for he is the father of faith. Secondly, he was called upon to go to a specific place. Now, you know, Moriah is the mountain region, a region around Jerusalem, which would also include, you know, the Mount of Olives and some of the other surrounding mountains around Jerusalem. I believe that Abraham was called to a specific place. Some think that he offered up Isaac there at the Temple Mount. I personally believe that he offered him up on Mount Calvary. He was called upon to go to a specific place. Thirdly, I want us to notice also in this reading lesson, there was a solemn purpose. There is a divine, providential, solemn purpose in what Abraham was called upon to do that would have lasting implications, that would have a lasting effect on all those who walk by faith. And lastly, I want to talk about the sacred promise. Those last couple of verses that I read to you. The sacred promise. This is Abraham had four times God visit him and enter into covenant with him. There are two covenants that Abraham was entered into with. With God. The first one, and this is just a ratification of the first one that occurs in chapter 12. We have one in chapter 12, one in chapter 15, one chapter 17, and this one in chapter 22. There are four times that God entered into covenant with Abraham, but there are only two covenants. One was a covenant of grace. Abraham entered into a covenant of grace with God in the 12th chapter and is ratified here in chapter 22. And also, he was given a covenant of law. The Jewish nation was under the covenant of law. All right, so these are some things that we're going to consider as we go through the pilgrimage of Abraham's faith. Look there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. This is a condensed version of the life of Abraham. There's a lot of speculation on when Abraham actually got saved, what particular place in his life during which covenant confirmation was Abraham saved. I believe he was saved at the beginning of his journey for God when he made a break with his city, the city of Ur, when God gave him the covenant of grace, when he called him out from his homeland. Notice here in verse 8. The Hebrew writer says in verse 8, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place, now we're talking about those things that occurred in the 12th chapter of Genesis. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now I want to pause here and I want to reemphasize a couple of things about Abraham. Abraham is a prototype. He is a pattern for every individual that would ever live and walk by faith. We should be able to relate to Abraham's life of faith. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you claim to be living and walking by faith, these experiences from the father of faith, Abraham, will also be yours. When you sit down, and the Bible says this, Jesus said this, that we shall one day sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's reserved, that table is reserved for people who have gone on the journey of faith. We'll be able to relate to one another because we have walked and lived by faith. In Habakkuk, the Bible says, the old prophet said, that the just shall live by faith. The journey and the pilgrimage that we're on is a journey and a pilgrimage of faith. Now, this pilgrimage, I mean, there's other things that we're going to see in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Not only is there a pilgrimage, but Abraham and Sarah had great patience. There's a power associated with faith. There needs to be a degree of patience among the people of God as we go through trials and testings. Now let me say this. Our church is going through a testing. Our lives are being tested to see if we have the strength of faith. Now, there's many ways that God can test us. God can come on the scene like He did with Abraham in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and God can test our faith in person. Or it could be like the situation with Job. He can send the devil to try and test our faith. Or He can use our own personal inner depravity. The Bible says that in the book of James, it tells us clearly that we are drawn away by our own lust. That we're tempted when we are drawn away by our own lust. Our own personal depravity can also test the strength of our faith. It'll reveal whether or not we really love God. And thirdly, it will show to the world, it will declare to the world that we are fearful of the true and living God. Do you really fear God? Do you fear the consequences of not obeying God? Is obeying God more important than obeying man? Those things are tested through our life. That sometimes churches come to a crossroad. And they can either obey the whims and the whistles of men, or they can obey the voice of the true living God. And God will test us. And we'll see in the end result whether we really fear God or whether we really fear man. I believe it's better to obey God rather than man. And so our faith is tested. Our fidelity, whether we really love God. More than anything and everything else. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, houses, land, yea, even your own life. You want to be my disciple. Now listen, folks, that's not just when you believe. That it has to be a persistent reality throughout the journey of faith. Fearing God has to come before fearing family members. Amen? So Abraham is this huge spiritual and practical prototype of how to live by faith. His journey here in this passage, it says that when he was called to leave Ur, when he was called to leave this metropolitan city that existed between the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, the place they say that the Garden of Eden used to exist, the place where the city of Babylon would eventually be built, this metropolitan city in the area of the Chaldeans, in the region of Mesopotamia, God called to Abraham and said, Come out of this place. Leave, separate, cut yourself off from all that you have been experiencing and known. Now the Bible tells us he was about 70 years old when this occurred, when he was called. And the Bible says that, well, notice what it says. Look in verse 8. It says, when God called him to come out of that place where he resided to receive an inheritance in another place, what's the Bible say that he did? He obeyed. Actually, if you look at these verses in the original language, there's a present. It's a present participle. When God called, or while God was calling, he obeyed. Listen, my friend, when God calls you out of a world of sin to come to into the journey of faith, that He might lead you to that glorious heavenly inheritance that Jesus has prepared for us through the shedding of His blood, don't hesitate, but obey. Listen, folks, you'll never get saved unless you obey the gospel, unless you heed the call. And so Abraham was called to come out. While he heard the call, he responded and he obeyed. No notice what else it says. This is very interesting in this verse. He obeyed, and it says in verse 8, he knew not, he went out not knowing whether he went. He had no clue where he was going. Now, if you meet somebody on the street and you say, where are you going? They say, I don't know where I'm going. We probably would think that they had Alzheimer's. They had, you know, escaped from one of the nursing homes. We'd probably assist them and help them and try to help them along the way that they might find their way back to where they're going. Most of us don't head out on a destination without knowing where we're going. But Abraham had no clue. Listen, folks, he trusted in God. He believed by faith when he was called. He left Ur and went to the place that God had designated for him. He went out. The Greek word is epistemia, which has, it's not like epigenosko or gnosko. It's a word, the definition has reference to thinking, the intellectual perceiving, the thought on something. Listen, he left not even thinking about where he was going. I'm talking about living and walking by faith. Folks, we don't know what the future is, but we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? God is in control of tomorrow. And those of us that live and walk by faith, we have to trust the Lord for tomorrow. Didn't know. Actually, I don't think he cared. He was just trusting in God. Amen. He wasn't really concerned. He gave no thought. Now, some of you would have great problems going through the process of faith because your mind seems like it never stops. But there are times in our life when we're trusting in the Lord where we overthink it too much. And we put too much thought, and our minds can become our worst enemy. Listen, Satan, he is the one that deceives the mind, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into those that are lost. He works in our intellect. There are times we need to lay aside our thought process and trust our hearts. Trust our hearts to God, amen. That's what Abraham did. He got the call, and he obeyed when he got the call. He responded immediately. He had no clue of the course of his life, but he trusted in God. Yeah. Listen, folks, this is a real practical lesson that marks out the journey of faith for us. The same kind of journey that Abraham was on is the same kind of journey that we're on. Abraham lived in an unregenerate world. You know, somebody said one time, this is ridiculous, but they said, well, you know, God looked over there in Ur and saw that Abraham was a pretty good guy. Said, well, I'll just give him the inheritance. No, Abraham was a sinner living in a sinful city. The city was a pagan city. The city is referred to as an unregenerate city. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, the Bible says that Terah, the father of Abraham, he served other gods. This city was an idolatrous city. Abraham was an unregenerate man. He was living in an adulterous city. Abraham was in bad shape. He was just in bad shape. I tell you what, look in Isaiah 51, hurriedly. Look over here. Here's a good passage of scripture for us maybe to look at in reference to Abraham. Verse 1. The prophet Isaiah said, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock, whence ye are who? Now he's talking to Israel, and he says, you look back, see where you came from, and look back to the rock from which you were hewn. Now, Israel, of course, was a great nation. Abraham was the father of the nation, and he is also the father of faith. We have the two covenants. There's only two covenants, okay? The covenant of grace and the covenant of the law. Abraham received both of them. That's very important. Only two covenants. Abraham received a covenant of grace and a covenant of law. And he says to Israel, you look back, and you see the rock whence you were hewn from, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah, that bear you. For I called him along and blessed him and increased him. In other words, God is saying in these verses of Scripture that Abraham was pulled up out of the pit. He was pulled up out of the miry clay of sin. God called him out of a world of sin. I'm thankful that the gospel still calls out to a world of sin today to come. Amen. I'm thankful for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of grace, amen, that goes out to a lost and dying world, and they're in the pits of sin, but praise God, He'll raise your life up out of the miry clay of sin, and He'll set you on a solid rock, and He will establish your goings. And that's exactly what He did for Abraham. Pulled him out of the miry clay of sin, out of that sinful and wicked city, out of the society and the systems of the world. Folks are involved in the systems of the world today, and the gospel calls on them to come out. To come out of the systems of the world and come out of the sin of this world. And so he was taken out of the pit. I like that. Isaiah 51 verses 1 and 2. So, what kind of person was Abraham? Abraham was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we all have gone astray. We all are like sheep have gone astray. We're all depraved. We all need a Savior. Abraham was a depraved man. He was a lost man living in a wicked city, and God called him out. Listen, folks, God could be calling you out today out of the wickedness of the world that you might come and enjoy the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you realize in the New Testament, the Bible says that Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness? Do you believe what the Scriptures say when it says that Abraham received the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ when he believed? You can get that today. You can get that today. So he was a sinner. He lived in a vile culture of paganism. Folks, we live in a messed up world today. We live in a wicked, perverse, crooked generation. Notice how Abraham responded. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, he responded to the call with faith. With faith. With faith. Now, I believe that when he separated himself from the sins of Ur, that Abraham not only believed, but he also repented. Repented. He turned from his family, he turned from his world, he turned from his home and his estate, he turned from all the ones he loved, he turned from his birthplace, and he set out on a pilgrimage of faith. Listen, you'll never be saved unless you turn from the wickedness of this world. A lot of people have come and sought the Lord. They've been on this altar and they prayed. You will never be saved until you repent. You might believe that Jesus died on the cross, believe that He resurrected on the third day. But till you try to turn from sin, you'll never find the Savior. In Isaiah 59 and 1, it says clearly that God's ear isn't heavy that He cannot hear, nor His arm short that He cannot save. The problem is your sins. Your sins have separated you between you and your God. And because of your sins, He has turned His face from you and will not hear you. Amen. Sin separates you from God, and you must turn from sin. He turned from that old life. I believe people need to turn from the old life to come to the new. I still contend that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, all things become new. Amen. Yes, I believe if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Yes, I believe, just like it says in Romans chapter 2, where Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy and acceptable unto God in your reasonable service. And he said, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, there must be a break. There must be a separation with this world in order to become part of the called out, the ecclesia, the church, because the church of the true living God are those people that have been called out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. We're on a journey of faith. And we are still pilgrims and strangers down here. Absolutely. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul was telling us, he said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay? We're not to have association. We're not to be connected with. We're not to be identified as unbelievers. We have a new identity that we have in Christ Jesus. And he went on and said this. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship has light with darkness? I've never seen a day like I've seen this day. This day in which most Christians are worldlings. They have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Listen, that's not what the Bible teaches. Bible says, he that is righteous, he is righteous still. He that is wicked still. Listen, folks, we need to get back to some holy preaching in our pulpits. What fellowship? I mean, look, they don't come together. You cannot get light and darkness together. Neither can you get righteousness and unrighteousness. Paul would go on and say, well, this. He would say, what a concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what concord, what harmony does Christ have with the devil? None. Absolutely none. Now, this is a fundamental, foundational, theological principle of Christianity, that light and darkness don't come together. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't meet. Christ and the devil have no fellowship. Amen? So, don't try to make them get together in your life. It can't happen. It won't happen. Either choose one or the other. Okay, he went on and said, "Hath the temple of God? You know what fellowship hath the temple of God with idols? None. I believe we are the temple of the living God. The church is, and he that destroys the temple, him God will destroy." Paul said. All right, so there's an obvious, clear, concisive separation. He cut himself off from the old, that he might unite himself with a new relationship with God, founded upon the grace that God preached to him concerning his seed. And we know what that seed was. We know who it was. Amen. It was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. I contend Abraham repented of his sins, put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and got saved. Sure do. In Galatians chapter 1, you know, the New Testament is just a continued revelation of Old Testament things. We saw that Wednesday night as we went through Isaiah, and we saw all those things in our church covenant existing in the redeemed and the remnant back in the prophecies of Isaiah. And even in the book of Job, how to treat one another and live our lives for God. I mean, it's recorded in the Old Testament and the new. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father. Watch this now. Listen. In order that. Now this is a hint of purpose clause. In order that. He might deliver us. In order that he might deliver us from this present age. Christ came to deliver us from sin. Amen. He died on the cross for your sins. He was a substitutionary atonement for your sins. I contend that when Abraham offered up Isaac on Mount Moriah or on Mount Calvary, he put a billboard out there. When we read those verses, didn't you? What's the verse you thought about in the New Testament? John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you seen those billboards on the side of the road, you know, and John 3:16? Well, Abraham put one, I think, there thousands of years before Christ came. But anyway, salvation. the first step of salvation is you being separated from the old world, the old way of life. Okay, you being separated from the systems, the wicked, perverse, wicked systems of the world, being cut off from the systems of this perverse and evil world. And when you are cut off, then you're sent on the pilgrimage of faith. I read a book one time years ago that talked about a Christian and what he does. He receives all new price tags for everything he has and everything that he's ever known. New set of price tags. We put new values on things after you get saved. Amen? The carnal, the worldly, the tangible, they're not as important as the spiritual. There's a new set of price tags on life that we're receiving. I can't remember the book I read that out of. But I quoted Hebrews 13 and 13 hundreds of times from this pulpit. I love that verse where that it talks about, you know, let us go forth outside the camp bearing His reproach. That's a wonderful verse. Listen, you come out of the old world and you have Jesus with you. You go out of the old and you have Christ with you. And you walk in a new system and new rules, new regulations based upon the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the last part of this, okay? Hebrews 13 and 13, y'all have heard me say this. We have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Every person on the journey of faith is a citizen of the heavenly country. This world is not our home, amen? We're pilgrims and strangers here. The important things, the valuable things, are within the kingdom of God and not in the systems of this world. James chapter 1, verse 27. You want to find pure religion that's undefiled before God? He tells us what it is. James chapter 1, verse 27. What is it? Well, it's visitation, first of all, visiting the widows and the orphans in their distress and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. That's real religion. Separate from the world. We need to get back to sanctification that separates us from the world. Rather than just something that we concoct in our mind when we come to church on Sunday morning in our finest clothes. Listen, this has something to do with your heart, not just with your body. Sanctified unto the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 4. He gets real strict about this. Calls them adulteresses and adulterers. And he says, don't you know that being friends with the world makes you enemies of God? We cannot be friends with the world. Christians cannot be worldlings. We're separate from the world. We're called out from the world. We're going to a better place. We have a city that we're looking forward to going to, whose builder and maker is God. Whose foundations are four, whose foundations and layout is four square. Praise God. We're going to that city. We're going to that glorious, glorious country. I'm going to close. The journey and pilgrimage of faith. It's a difficult journey. Oh, but look, folks. Quit putting so much trust and so much confidence and so much investment in the things here. Lay up treasures in heaven. Where thieves, where moths and rust cannot corrode, where thieves cannot break through and steal, lay up at treasures in heaven. In Revelation chapter 18, it talks about a mystical Babylon, a spiritual Babylon. It talks about a country where people are following the beast, the false prophet, the systems of this world, the schemes of this world. And there's a cry that goes out. The same location that Abraham came out of, Babylon was built. And the call goes out. John said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out! Come out of her, Lord. Listen, folks, come out of the systems of this world. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Exercise the faith of Abraham. Believe to the saving of your soul. Repent of your sins. Become part of the family of God. Get a song, Aaron. Let's sing. I tell you what, come go with us. We'll do you good. We are on a journey. And I'm going to that city, that heavenly country. I'm looking forward to entering into the heavenly kingdom. Amen? Yeah, but we've got to continue to maintain a separation from this world. We're going to look at Abraham's faith. He was called out. He separated himself from all that he'd known. He trusted in God. Do you trust in the Lord today? Do you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Are you really laid out before Him? Have you poured out your life, all that you are and all you ever be, like water on the ground and trusting Him? Let's stand and sing a verse of some song. If you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, we invite you to come and enjoy the journey of faith. We invite you to be part of this pilgrimage of faith like Abraham, who is the prototype and the role model, the iconic faith that's declared in our Father of Faith. You'll find in every believer. Every believer. You can never be part of the pilgrimage of faith until you separate yourself from the world. There has to be a cutoff point, a place, a time and a place where you turn from sin and you lay yourself out before God. You need that. Today could be that day where you turn away from sin and you pour your heart out to God and be saved. I pray that today is the day of salvation for you. As we sing a verse of some song, is there somebody here lost and undone? There is a covenant of grace that God wants to make with you, but you cannot enter into grace unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Grace is available. Yes, grace is available. Unmerited, undeserved favor. I believe Abraham got undeserved favor when he was in Ur. Sure do. He found the Lord Jesus Christ. Come. Come. Join us in the journey and pilgrimage of faith. We will do you good. Let us sing.